Your Politics is back, along with the back-to-school traffic. And with me, my colleagues, Micheál Lehane and Sandra Hurley. We're talking about the story that has been the main talking point, hasn't it really, throughout the silly season, those long, lazy days of August, and what was everybody writing and speculating about the race for the Oras. A lot of stories came and went in terms of this, who will succeed Michael D. Higgins during August, Micheál. Are we getting a bit more clarity now come the end of August?
Yeah, I think so. And it's going to become a lot clearer fairly soon. I suppose there's another week or two in it. But on Tuesday, Heather Humphreys will be announced as the Fine Gael candidate. That could have happened earlier, but I think there was a sense in Fine Gael that perhaps the nature and the strength of that demolition job on Sean Kelly was a bit distasteful. That, of course, was a tactic employed by Leo Varadkar and Simon Harris himself when they went for leadership things. It was deployed again on this occasion. Didn't go down particularly well. So it runs until Tuesday. But you've two people in the race then by Tuesday, Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys. And then really the focus begins to go on Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil and what are they going to do. It seems there will be a Fianna Fáil meeting fairly soon to set out the process, and strong indications now that this goes all the way back to the type of meeting where Albert Reynolds famously jousted with Mary McAleese with Bertie in the middle of it. So it looks like they're working to an old-fashioned type parliamentary party vote. Sinn Féin are calculating, can a government-backed candidate be defeated? Can the candidate be defeated without them entering the race? Is that possible? They're looking at polling data insofar as they have it to see if Catherine Connolly can win it on her own. If they feel that she can't, they will enter the race then, it seems, because that is the imperative, that is the objective. There is a view within the party if they're going to enter the race, it has to be one of two people. Mary Lou MacDonald, who's putting clear water between herself and it now quite clearly. The other person they think about then is Piers Doherty, but it would be a risk because, again, it's a person who is central to the Sinn Féin long-term ambition of getting into government. And if that election wasn't to go well, that there would be a degree of damage. But I think the overall objective for that party is to defeat a government-backed candidate.
OK, we'll talk about, if you like, the parties in a bit more detail in a moment. But Sandra, throughout August, we've seen names coming and going. We've been hearing a lot of talk about the county council route. And this is, if you're not getting the 20 Oireachtas nominations, you can get nominations from four councils. So talk to us about the people who are hoping to go that route and what their chances are really like.
Yeah, well, two main names seem to be pursuing the council route. Two people who have actually already launched national campaigns, and those are Gareth Sheridan and Nick Delahanty. Gareth Sheridan obviously had a difficult few weeks. It didn't feel like he was fully prepared for the questions he was going to be asked. Nick Delahanty has just started his campaign now, but they are trying to get the backing of four councils. From talking to people in Gareth Sheridan's campaign, they said they've narrowed it down to a target of 12. They think they have two already, Tipperary and Laois. But I thought it was interesting to note that Nick Delahanty is making a point of telling everybody that he's from Tipperary. So Tipperary is clearly a target for him as well. And each council can only nominate one person. And some of them might hold these meetings to hear from individuals. They might not back anyone. And then it has to go to a vote. And that's where the real crunch happens, because if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael both have individuals running under the party name, then I can't really see councillors jumping out of line too much, because they want to back their own candidate in a lot of instances. Some people might be swayed by the democratic argument that Nick Delahanty and others are trying to make, that it would be fair to allow them to go forward onto the ballot paper. But it's very hard to see at this time. It was successful in 2018, 2011 and some years before that, but it's more narrow. I'm hearing that Declan Ganley is not pursuing the council route. He certainly was very actively ringing around Oireachtas members before the Oireachtas finished up its business in mid-July. Doesn't look like he's going to get the backing of 20 members. Also from people in here who've been trying to get a coalition together of individuals who could nominate a person, you need 20 TDs or senators. They're sort of admitting that route looks like it's narrowing as well. We did see some of those independent ministers coming out for Heather Humphreys. Now, they could voice that they're backing her and they could actually nominate somebody else. That is possible and it has happened previously, but everyone concedes it's looking pretty narrow now to get through the Oireachtas route.
So, Micheál, do you think the councils are likely? Because I think there's a number of dates, aren't there, scheduled in September. are they likely to enjoy their time in the limelight but maybe disappoint these would-be independent candidates?
I think so, and I think there is going to be a degree of discipline. I mean, yesterday James Lawless, speaking on behalf of Fianna Fáil, said if the party does have a candidate in the race and it looks that way, he said, then the expectation clearly is, even if it isn't an official diktat, that the people have to follow the line there. So the gap just does not seem to be there at all this time. And that really does make this a very narrow field indeed, and everyone that's in it then become potential contenders.
The first candidate in the field, of course, is the independent Catherine Connolly. She has the backing of People Before Profit, the Social Democrats and the Labour Party, or at least she thought she had the backing of the Labour Party. Talk to us about the developments there.
Well, clearly a splintering in the Labour Party. Alan Kelly very vocal about how he disagreed with Labour deciding to back Catherine Connolly. He didn't support it when there was an internal vote, and he's gone public with those criticisms. He felt she's never done anything for them and that she has been very critical of the party since she left it in 2006. That said, Ivana Bacic was out on a walkabout with her in Trinity College. They put that up on social media, didn't invite members of the press along. But the Labour Party, I understand, are nervous about how the Catherine Connolly campaign has been going so far. There's a feeling that it has been a bit amateur, that she obviously hasn't been accustomed to running national campaigns. And she conceded this in her first round of interviews, that she needed to get focused on a national campaign. It's a much bigger ask. So Joe Costolo, the former Labour junior minister, has been asked to go in an advisory role to talk to the campaign team. He, of course, was the campaign director for Michael D. Higgins in 2011, so he has some success there. And then there's also talks about trying to mobilise. Labour would have the best network around the country of people on the ground. You need those people on the ground who are going to go out and campaign and canvass for you, trying to get them on board. One last sticking point, though, I hear, is about money. Catherine Connolly had said publicly that she of course has been crowdfunding, but she was looking to the parties for actual donations. So talks are going on about that with People Before Profit, with the Social Democrats, with the Labour Party. No agreement so far. This clearly is quite difficult. Somebody in Labour said to me that when they raise money from members of the public, it's specifically for Labour candidates. So it's going to be difficult, I think, to reach agreement with all those parties, but she does need finance and she conceded that. So I think that's one to watch.
I mean, presidential campaigns are very expensive. They run into
half a million euro.
Yes, no problem.
The ballpark going around. You can spend up to 750,000. That's what's allowed under the rules. But to raise half a million euro is really difficult.
So that's where the support of Sinn Féin could be absolutely critical to Catherine Connolly's chances if she's to have a chance of succeeding.
And in two ways, I mean, yeah, and it could be that the Sinn Féin candidate in there, that their transfers, if they feel they do have to enter the race, gets Catherine Connolly over the line. Right now, there's a feeling within the party that it might be difficult to outpoll her on first preferences, but of course the campaign isn't really underway in earnest yet. The other thing about it is when it comes to the Labour Party, there is a sense in Labour that Michael D. Higgins, obviously enough, couldn't be more Labour, and that didn't get them any great electoral benefit for a long time. Given that reality, that political reality, how motivated will Labour people on the ground be to really put their heart and soul into this campaign for Catherine Connolly? And if you take it from Alan Kelly's comments, notwithstanding factions and sour grapes and everything else, I think it is that point and the fact that the party felt that she had disrespected them in the past.
But there's also a generational divide here, isn't it? I mean, you've been hearing, you know, from Fergus Finlay and Alan Kelly, but we're told that, you know, when the party, you know, took soundings, it was the younger membership.
Yes.
And you look at the Labour Party conferences of the past couple of years, a lot of young people there, and they were much more on board with letting go of past divisions and embracing what they saw as a good candidate of the left.
Yes, and Catherine Connolly's message resonates, and there is a simplicity and a clearness to it that others don't have. And in some ways, when you listen to what she's saying, it is Michael D. Higgins in many ways, but without the craft and the political weaving of language that he can bring to things when he wants to on certain things, and particularly when he would be on campaign mode.
I think actually just one further point on Catherine Connolly before we move on. I think she is trying to get Sinn Féin on board. I think it's interesting to note that she's in Belfast today. Now, there are no votes in Belfast, but she has been speaking to the press about a united Ireland. She has been very much pushing that message to the fore. She is trying to get them on board. She did say earlier in the week that she was sort of surprised that Sinn Féin hadn't made a decision by now. Mary Lou McDonald came out yesterday and said that their process would be they decide by the middle of next month. But I think Catherine Connolly would like to have Sinn Féin on board.
And if Heather Humphreys does become the Fine Gael nominee, in a way, the border unity, the shape of an agreed Ireland, a future Ireland, because of her Presbyterian background and border background, that would also bring that issue into the campaign, wouldn't it?
Yes, and I think Sinn Féin would not be happy to see Heather Humphreys espousing that message. They want the United Ireland to be central to the debate. Obviously, it's the key for Sinn Féin in every possible way, but they don't want to hand over that mantle to Heather Humphreys. They want to be the ones bringing that message to the fore all the time. So I think it's going to be important for Sinn Féin to put their stamp on it in some way.
Hard to do that without their own candidate then.
Well, that I think is the key question. That's why there's some, you know, it is a motivating factor for them. They have to be in it if they want to shape it around a united Ireland and neutrality.
Here's the question, Micheál, and in all the names and speculation, even a lot of the focus on Mary Lou McDonald herself and the blowing hot and cold as to whether she would be a potential candidate or not. Michelle O'Neill has done very well as First Minister up in Northern Ireland. She's, you know, she talks about the world needing more hugs. She's very good at making speeches without saying things that are controversial when she needs stick between the lines. It's not as if she's exactly busy up there at Stormont. So why aren't they running her?
I think there is a feeling that it is a success what's happening at Stormont and they don't want to jeopardise that.
It's a success?
Well, I think Michelle O'Neill is seen as a success in that role, and it's an important thing for the party. Coming down here with no guarantees of winning is seen as too risky. As well as that, there was a much smaller group that felt someone like Gerry Adams should get a run at it, but that apparently is not seen as a runner at all, and it's going back to the Martin McGuinness attempt. So I think it is. It's Mary Lou McDonald or Piers Doherty if it is going to be a candidate.
That could be interesting.
Could be.
Rose Conway Walsh?
No, I think it has to be high profile. It has to be someone who's a chance of winning, but at the very least gets Catherine Connolly over the line.
And the advantage of Piers Doherty running would be it wouldn't raise questions about the leadership of the party if he didn't win.
It would, and it is. Is there a sense within Sinn Féin that the top tier of the party when it comes to Dáil performers and that on a consistent basis is Mary Lou McDonald and then Piers Doherty? They are the two. The only thing is he is seen as such a fundamental part of any future government. Could it be a damaging campaign?
Okay. Let's come on to the Fianna Fáil question now. Jim Gavin is the name. Louise Richardson's also been mentioned. Billy Kelleher, of course, has been saying the parliamentary party must decide on this. And of course, now people are saying, well, is he making phone calls, Micheál?
Billy Kelleher is making phone calls for the last few hours. This has got a lot more real than some people might have anticipated. I mean, there was a view at the start that Billy was testing the waters here. There was a view this is one of the great affable people within the party, competent too. But no, there is no other figure within the party that you'd prefer to go for a pint with, is how one person sums it up. So despite all that, of course, there is a steel and there's a seriousness to Billy Kelleher behind the demeanour at certain times. And it's got real now. He is calling people. And I mean, I think it is significant too that Thomas Byrne, who would be seen to have the ability to express what his leader is thinking, let's put it like that, talked today about the fact that there will be a vote at the parliamentary party. I think Billy Keller's working his way to being a candidate that goes before the PP now.
So Billy Kelleher, could be on the paper. We're still waiting to see what Micheál Martin decides. He's going to make his views clear to the parliamentary party who've been scratching their heads about what's going on between his ears on this one for a while.
From ringing around TDs today in Fianna Fáil, there's a sort of an expectation that Micheál Martin will certainly over the next few days, maybe over the weekend, set out a process. So as Micheál was just saying there, there'll be a call for nominations, a closing date, and then the parameters of how a vote is taken. So how will it work from there? Well, Micheál Martin won't publicly back any candidate, but one person said to me, he'll privately, you would know the views of the leaders. So we would expect that perhaps the person who Micheál Martin wants to come forward will come through and be successful in the end. It has also been put to me that if there is a PP vote, Billy Kelleher would beat Jim Gavin. But at this stage, we don't know for definite, despite all the column inches, whether Jim Gavin really is going for this.
Well, the endorsement of the leader for those who are in ministerial office, for those who have ministerial aspirations, and for new backbenchers will be very important, notwithstanding Billy Kelleher's affability and popularity.
So whoever Micheál Martin wants is likely to get the job.
I still think so. And I mean, he has won all those key parliamentary battles, whether you want to go all the way back to that huge 6-7 hour meeting where Laura Osamuraku's presidential ambitions went up in flames, and when Micheál Martin was a much weaker figure within the party. He doesn't lose them.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Gavin, of course, it is hard to measure where Jim Gavin is at. Those who
that's
know
what I'm wondering about him, because I mean the CV is impeccable, but a presidential campaign, as we've already seen so far, and certainly there are plenty of examples from the past, they're fast moving, they're personal, they're about the sentence dropped during a debate, the question answered badly on the campaign trail. Does he have that capacity?
I don't know. He's cautious, isn't he? And I mean, he's cautious, and that has worked very well. And he had the ability to motivate people. He has the ability to plan. But when it comes to the cut and thrust, when it comes to being able to think on your feet, that's never really been tested when it comes to Jim Gavin. Is he a little bit cold? That's what some people within the Fianna Fáil party would ask that question. But that certain coldness and distance was very successful when it came to the sporting arena. And he does have certain political credentials as well, whether that's chairing forums, making regular trips in and out here to committees as well.
There's a nervousness, certainly, that he hasn't been blooded in the same way that a politician has. Yes, he's done media interviews, but not in any way to the same extent. And then there's one other factor. Perhaps could he be popular with Dublin voters, but not popular with the rest of the country? Some TDs have made that point to me. Obviously, the rivalry between Dublin and Kerry and Dublin and Meath and many other places is pretty intense. So could he be a figure for everyone in the country, or would it be particularly a Dublin-centred vote?
What looks like being, I mean, it's been a long held tradition, certainly in my lifetime, has been that presidential candidates go to the ploughing and they campaign at the ploughing. And it is seen that those days from the 16th to the 18th of September. And I've seen it. It's just remarkable that you see all the political parties, they have their great big tents. It's if you are running a presidential campaign, you want to have the stickers ready, you want to have the badges ready, the campaign literature and the candidate walking around in their wellies. At this stage, we can only be certain probably of Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys. Is that right?
Yeah, Sinn Féin are saying, Mary Lou McDonald was saying that their Ard Corla would only formalise the process on, she said, the 19th or 20th. So that would suggest that they might miss the ploughing. And yes, it seems like sort of an ill-thought-out strategy, because we have seen, as you mentioned, presidential candidates going around the ploughing. It's a fantastic way to meet people from all around the country. So why would you not be out there trying to shake as many hands as possible? Over the summer, we saw Catherine Connolly at the Tullamore show in the Fla Ciol. I think Gareth Sheridan was at the Tullamore show as well. So yes, this is a typical form. Will Fianna Fáil have their candidate in place by then also? I think that timeline could be a little tight as well.
I think the other thing for Fianna Fáil that is reflected in some of the comments that I think will be in line with the leader's thinking is that the party vote obviously on its own isn't sufficient. So therefore, does it have to be someone outside the party who can double that vote really if they are going to win it?
Yes, because of course, I mean, people keep drawing parallels with Mary McAleese and so on. But the fact of the matter is Fianna Fáil was at 40% support. Yeah. So you've got the three big parties mainly on 20%. Sinn Féin traditionally have done way below that in presidential elections, so it's a big test for them. And of course, we've seen Michael D come from, you know, build a left coalition and win the presidency in 2011 and hold it since. So this is going to be, it looks like it'll be a different campaign, doesn't it? A shorter campaign.
A shorter campaign, less candidates. And while the opposition, and you can see the Alan Kelly stuff and maybe a bit of splintering on that great left alliance that was there at the opening sessions of the Dáil. At the same time, I think there is a commitment to try and ensure that the government candidates don't get through. And it's for that reason that Micheál Martin perhaps is looking outside of the typical political type candidate.
But politics always has an impact. There's a budget to come. We have the issue of the neutrality campaign and the triple lock. It'll be interesting to see how all of that, feeds in to the campaign and the fates of the candidates.
Yeah, and already, like, we had a campaign launch this week with Nick Delahanty, the Independent. And again, it was things like the Occupied Territories Bill that are to the fore. So those type of political, those huge political issues, whether it's that, whether it's the triple lock and the legislation that's expected to come in the autumn. And of course, that budget. And just there is plenty of caution and plenty judiciousness being expressed by those within government when it comes to it, though, given that they're at the moment, as things stand, there is still some money in the coffers. Will they be flahoolic in the end?
polling date? Do we know?
People are saying the suggestion is October 23rd, and it's kind of a process of elimination. Halloween, that Friday, is a bad idea. It's a bank holiday weekend. People are going away. Or sorry, the 24th is a bank holiday Friday, and then the 31st is Halloween. So move it to the Thursday, October 23rd. I think the Housing Minister, James Brown, is expected next week to sign that presidential election order, which will set the date and set the date for the closing of nominations.
And the Electoral Commission is going to the electric picnic this weekend to try and get as many people as possible to register so they can all get out and cast their vote.
Not necessarily young voters' electric picnic, though. It's a wide
bit of a 30s to 40s vibe, I think.
Who benefits they should have
been I'm sure they were it all together now, actually. Maybe they should have been there. Anyways.
One of the more interesting things during the week was Nick Delahunty's campaign, where he spoke about his opposition to and his difficulty with a rotating Taoiseach and how he would, if he was president, look at some ways of perhaps having an influence on that. Didn't quite set out how, but that would be an interesting one. If a Taoiseach was to arrive at the Áras and not be able to have their government accepted.
Yes, there have been various pronouncements on what a president can do, but it is quite a limited role under the Constitution. And I suppose it's about moral authority comes into it too, being the voice of the nation. Isn't that right? And that's where Michael D. Higgins has been a huge hit, particularly with younger voters.
Yeah. And he has been very good at speaking out, pitching it in a nuanced way where you could say he's critiquing the government, but he's always managed to not quite cross the line. And he's been very clever, I think, at doing that, and very clever at getting headlines as well around everything that he's saying. But people want a figurehead. I think they want a serious person who they can trust and somebody who understands the constitutional role, that it is limited. You can't just reject legislation. The most you can do, you can call the Council of State if you think it's constitutional and then make that call as to whether you might send it to the Supreme Court.
OK, so get the popcorn ready for the month of September. Lots to come on all things presidential and electoral. And we'll be back with you to talk about it again next week. Till then, Sloane.